And we've been talking about our New Year's resolutions for 2020. And if your New Year's resolution is to eat healthy, we've got the perfect couple in the house today and ready to talk to us. So we have got DJ Kavum and his lovely wife, Alchemia. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you for having
Thanks for having me.
So DJ Kavum is what you're called, but I can call you ETEF. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, a couple things real quickly. You've been on Rachel Ray. She's a great cook, and so she's got a lot of things going on. So you were able to be on her show. You both have performed at the White House for President and Mrs. Obama. You've been featured in Oprah's magazine. But I do want to talk about a couple things, though, starting with you, ETEF, is that you rap about climate change, plant-based foods, but something I wanted to know about, food justice, because we're trying to eat healthy in the new year. Some people are looking to make the switch to plant-based or slowly going. But what is food justice? I've never heard of that.
Well, food justice is similar to food sovereignty. I think it's more about the idea of having access and equal opportunity to health and wellness. And that's what, you know, is justified within a lot of the affluent communities that a lot of times you don't see in urban communities until they become completely gentrified. And so food justice is about creating food access.
Oh, nice. Okay. And I think that's especially, you know, like in communities where it's not, I don't know about you guys, but I've gone different places and I've seen where if it's a more affluent community, they've got access to really great food and different things. If it's a poor community, then they don't, you know, it costs cheap to eat. And I noticed this too. I went on a trip. I went to London last year. And the funny thing to me is it cost more to eat unhealthy than it did healthy. There was like a little bodega next to our hotel. So we kept going down and like to get a small hummus that had, you know, one had pretzels and then was a hummus that had vegetables in it. It was like $1.50. But if you got a bag of chips, it was like $3 or more, you know, and their money is different from ours. But, you know, I was like, wow, why are we not doing this here? You know, in America, and I love our country, but you know, why are we, you know, why is it cheaper to eat bad, you know, versus eating healthy and eating less expensive? So if one of you two could have a little throw in for that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. In my opinion, I think it has a lot to do with the demand and just the structure of how everything is. I mean, in places like London and overseas, there's a lot of ingredients that have been banned for decades that they won't allow in their food. So they've been on that stream for a while. And, you know, America's kind of just catching up as the demand rises here and as, you know, America becomes more woke with, you know, what we want in our food and you know, our demand goes up, the cost goes down. So,
It's definitely something I've seen in our community here. I'm born and raised right here in Five Points. And I remember when a lot of the East Side was an orchard and I had a lot of neighbors who had fruit trees in their backyards. And so I remember healthy, organically grown, non-pesticide food was available in the elders' backyard in my community. And it was definitely more expensive to eat the processed cellophane bag food at the corner store off of like 28th and York Street. And I was, you know, really embracing the whole idea of organic gardening at a young age because of the elders in my community and also coming from a family of sharecroppers. But I think the real food justice does come from, you know, having a traceable source, supporting farmers markets, supporting locally grown and sustainable, you know, organizations that are providing. And that's definitely something you will see switch in the communities who are actually trying to find more access to like healthy, nutritious food.
You know, and talking about healthy, nutritious food, I want to switch over to you for a second, Alchemia, because I just in the last few years, I've just noticed like I'm starting to give up meat. I want to go basically plant-based. But the thing I noticed that there are sometimes I don't like overly practice intermittent fasting, but people tell me, oh, that's kind of like intermittent fasting. But I noticed that once if I don't eat for a while, I feel good. But then if I go and I eat a processed meal after not eating for a while, I just feel like I just want to crawl back in my bed. I don't feel good. But if I, you know, come off of, let's say, like not eating for like 10, 12, 15 hours, whatever, and then I eat something that's plant-based, I don't have, my pulse is not racing. Mm-hmm. I'm not tired. I'm not drained, you know, and I can make it through my workday. And when Manny, when Itef and I were messaging back and forth, he said that you were doing something called the 6-week online course, 28 days to plant-based higher health. So if I could pick your brain just a little bit on that, because it just, I loved hearing that. And like I said, we're in a new year, new decade, and new month. We want to get some healthy things. So can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, definitely. So when you mentioned the intermittent fasting, I've been practicing that for 15 years now, and it's really a powerful practice. And as far as what you were talking about with the response with your body and what you notice, you know, compared to when you eat plant-based, whenever you eat something acidic or something like meat, dairy, which all falls in the acidic category, your body will automatically respond with inflammation. So, you know, what that looks like is your capillaries shrink and you skyrocket your blood pressure. And for those of you who are already struggling with blood pressure issues, you're going to notice that even more. When you eat something like alkaline, which is plant-based, it's going to bring a flood of minerals to the body, a flood of oxygen, and then what you're going to experience is the exact opposite effect. It's anti-inflammatory, and, you know, we are actually comprised of 102 minerals, and that's what we thrive off of, and unfortunately, that mineral content that you think that maybe in, you know, dairy and meat products is just not there. Dairy and meat products are basically the middleman. And so my course is basically, yeah, it's a 6-week online course. So I have students from all around the country that are participating. And, you know, it's 28 days. It's a journey of 28 days to plant-based higher health. And I'm all about, you know, for me, accessing my higher health was a 20-year process. I was able to cure myself from chronic ailments, anemia, chronic fatigue, and I had low blood sugar. I was diagnosed with low blood sugar when I was 12. So these were serious health issues that if I did not find a way to actually go to the root and uproot for myself, that they would turn into something that would be a lot worse, you know, now in my 30s. So I cured myself from that and then moved on to dedicating to helping others also find their higher health. And that's where this course was born out of.
All right. Itef, totally like talking to you, but you're off to the shelf for just a second because we got to keep going. Because this is so interesting to me because I wrote down a few things as you were talking because when you're, I didn't realize the acidic and the inflammation because I'll say this, dairy is not my friend. I mean, people can tell, like if they're my friends travel with me or even if I'm here at the station, they can tell when I have dairy because I'm like, you know, I don't want to make the gross sound. Sorry. Sorry, listeners. But I just sound different. But then I noticed too, like, I love grilled cheese, but then I will notice that there are times if I have too much dairy, it is hard for me to walk. Mm. I am in pain. It's hard for me to walk. And the thing with meat, and sometimes I do crave it still here and there, but I've been making the transition slowly, so now I'm only on shellfish. But even then, I'm trying to get away from that because I don't know if you've ever encountered this or heard somebody with this, but my bones will ache. It's not like joint. It's my bones hurt when I have meat or too much meat. So when you're saying the acidic with the inflammation and then the alkaline with the plant-based, that's really interesting to me because I seem to get, if I have too much, you know, sugar or too much dairy or whatever, then it creates a lot of coughing and hacking and different things. And then I noticed when I gave up milk, especially, and I can always tell when I go back to dairy milk, you can like play connect the dots with my face because I had acne for years and it was really bad. And I'm in my 40s and it was in my late 30s or maybe 40 when I gave up, you know, just straight on milk. And I noticed that my complexion did different. So could you elaborate a little bit more on the alkaline and the inflammation, please?
Yeah. So, you know, we are alkaline by nature. We will generally linger with our blood pH, you know, around 7.5, 7.2, around that. So everything we should be eating should be, you know, feeding that alkalinity, basically. When it comes to things like dairy, yes, there's an inflammatory response. And by design, we're not made to drink or even consume animal products. If you study our digestive system compared to that of a natural meat eater, you know, a natural meat eater will have a very short digestive tract, so the meat can pass through very quickly within a four-hour period, whereas any, you know, plant-based eater on the planet, like cows, have a very complex digestive system so that it can break down the fiber. And that's exactly where we fall in. When you're consuming the acidic products, like I said, there's an inflammatory response, which the body considers that trauma. And the inflammation will compromise the cellular membrane, which causes mucus on the rise in the body. And so, you know, when you've got the mucus in the body, just like when you have a cold, the congestion happens, that can happen in any part of the body, cellular, on a cellular level, the pancreas can be inflamed and also, you know, develop a lot of mucus. And so that's really what you're feeling. By design, we are alkaline, and so the foods that we eat need to reflect that.
So let me ask you a question, too, because I'm a travel buff, so I went to Switzerland, and I was able to eat, though, some of their dairy in Switzerland, but someone was telling me it was because of the hormones, but I still go back to, I think, because I'm in agreement with you, like eating, I know it just sounds weird, but like I feel like eating an animal is kind of like carnivorous in a sense, you know, because you're doing that. But my whole thing is, too, is some people will say, well, just eat organic and you'll be okay when it comes to the animal products and blah, 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 or eat the grass-fed beef and you'll be okay. Mm. So a little bit of elaboration on those versus plant-based?
Yeah, definitely. You know, on my journey, I also was, you know, obviously, I have only been vegan, living the vegan lifestyle for about 10 years now. Prior to that, I was vegetarian. Prior to that, I was, you know, just consciously you know, looking at my food. And I transitioned over to, you know, the free range and the grass fed and all of that. And honestly, when it comes down to it, I said, when you're eating the meat, you're just going through the middleman to get your nutrients. Where does the cow get its nutrients from? It gets it from the alfalfa grass. It gets it from, you know, the barley, whatever it's eating. And so basically, when you are consuming an animal or a corpse that has been dead for weeks on end, there's an energetic response that comes with that. Beyond the health impact, there's actually an energetic response that is carried from the animal to us when we consume that. What that cow goes through, through its process of death and slaughter, is literally embedded in its flesh, no different than us humans. When we go through extreme fear, extreme stress, how we carry that with us, and we in turn consume that. So there's a karmic response that comes with that.
And that's so funny because I'm sitting over here. You can't see this, anybody, but I'm like making these eye gestures and I'm laughing because one of my girlfriends in California, she got her husband into plant-based eating because one of the things that she said was that the fear that the cow or, you know, the animals go through right before slaughter, she's like, we're taking all that in. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, this sounds just like her. Mm. So my question is, were you the first one to be vegetarian, vegan, or was it ETF, or did you guys, how did this come to be part of your family? I mean, you're up here rapping about it, things are going on. So how, you know, how did this come to be? Who influenced who first, or was it you guys were both on the same page, or?
Exactly.
Well, she definitely made my my recipes in my my kitchen smell a lot better, you know. I've been vegan for over 20 years now. And the concept around, like, me starting it off, it was definitely pretty hardcore. You know, I remember not really having the best access. I was going to mostly, like, Asian markets and farmers markets. But the opportunity of me finding health and wellness within my home with my wife, I think definitely transformed my my physical ability to, you know, gain strength. I'm now plant-based bodybuilding and curling 105. So, yeah.
And that's so funny because they were talking about because the Patriots lost to the Titans. And so somebody put up on, they were on Facebook and they're saying, did they lose to a mainly plant-based team? Because yes. a lot of athletes now are coming out just saying, like, you know, I don't eat meat, I'm plant-based. And, you know, and it's not, I don't feel like it's a trend. I feel like, you know, because, you know, it's like, oh, take the no fat, take the low carb, take the, you know, I feel like this is a way of eating. You know what I'm saying? Because even like I like to do like some recipes from Engine 2. You know, and mm-hmm. I'm like, they're recipes mm-hmm. that are just healthy and you mm-hmm. can sustain. So just to hear that, and we are going to swing back to you in a minute, Alchemia, because I want to talk to you just a little bit more about the course. So mm-hmm. I'm going to come back to you for a minute. But okay, so here you are, Itef, you're a young man, you're in your 30s, but 20 something years ago, I mean, you're a kid, you're starting this out, you know, switching around. That's kind of I guess back then, you know, or as a teenager, whatever, people would be like, oh, that's odd. Kids don't, you know, eat like this or whatever. But then, you know, you're doing it. Now you're bodybuilding. But then you also come up with eco hip hop, which that term, I'd like to hear a little bit yeah. about that. But how did this come about?
Well, for me, I was actually introduced to plant-based eating through Rastafarianism.
Okay.
And the culture of the Itau living, which is to eat living foods. And the idea of that was for me to just have more respect for myself and also have a African perspective on how to identify with wellness. Mm-hmm. When it comes to environmental hip hop, eco hip hop, something that I definitely wanted to focus on from a culinary climate action perspective. I grew up, you know, fighting on the front line of protest and like literally supporting youth and elders and, you know, indigenous people who are looking for human rights. And those human rights, you know, activism leading into like animal rights activism and anti-war protests really helped me understand that it's deeper than just, you know, thinking about myself and more thinking on a planetary level. And so I wanted to write music about it. I wrote poetry about it. And it turned into an opportunity where I went into the schools and started to teach and educate young people on how to grow food. That turned into an opportunity for me to tour and speak and, you know, have numerous different TED Talks. Me and my wife, Alchemia, we have a TED Talk together called Marketing Environmental Hip Hop and Culinary Wellness. We did at the TEDx Manhattan in New York City. And the conversation was about how we redefining the image of wealth. And I feel like it is a big impact, and that has turned into an opportunity for me to partner with a local artist here, Detour Thomas Evans, to create Plant-Based Records, which is a holistic health perspective of hip-hop, where we actually produce music on vegetables as a conductor for electricity, and then we drop the albums on packages of seeds to inspire people to grow food. And that was the production that we did with my last project called Biomimics.
That was interesting because I was going to talk to you about Biomimics, but then also too, I had read, and you know, we were talking about this at the beginning a little bit, International Compost Week. I was kind of confused about that, but I'm like, okay, it sounds interesting, so I want to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, last year I partnered up with Botanical Interest to create a really cool campaign for my album Biomimics, which is, like I said, to release the packets on seeds. It became the first USDA organic hip hop album. And, you know, endorsed by the USDA, great press and Vice magazine. And, you know, the opportunities led into where I was able to do a music video release in conjunction on tour in the Bay Area. And what that looks like is literally International Composting Week was during May 9th to May 11th. And the goal was to show people how to sequester the carbon by taking the food scraps that we eat that are mostly plant-based, cooked or non-cooked, and putting those back into the soil so that we can actually create opportunities to grow healthy soil just like we need to grow our own food. And that would be the best way for us to actually figure out different alternatives to our waste diversion, including ideas of recycling and reducing. But the main thing is how we can really like transform our community and not just throw trash into the ground. It was really trying to inspire people to not go into the throwaway generation and to kind of step away from the landfills and think more on a regenerative agriculture perspective, using hip hop to do it.
Oh, nice. Okay. Now, I'm coming back to you, Alchemia, because I do have a few other questions because, like, you know, we've been talking about the food, talking about everything else. So a couple things real quickly. If I'm listening to this and I'm like, wait a minute, there's a course that I can take. I can do it online. Because, you know, sometimes people, especially in Denver right now, you know, the weather goes crazy. We don't want to leave the house, you know. But if I want to take the course, if I want to find out more information, is there a website or a telephone number?
Yeah, absolutely. My website is alchemiaearth.com. A-L-K-E-M-I-A, Earth, like the planet Earth.com. And you can call or text 303-557-0887.
Okay, now at that website address too, I know you do some other things. You have bioenergy, Reiki, mm-hmm. Different things like that, crystal therapy. So if I'm listening and I, you know, could I find out more information about that as well?
Absolutely. I have a practice. I'm an office where I practice all my energy work out of. So, yeah, you can definitely go to my website and learn all about that.
Now, okay, and then the other thing, for the 28 Days to Plant-Based Higher Health, have you already started or is it coming up soon and is it continuing throughout the year? So if I've missed this one, can I jump in later?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is a continuous thing. I'm looking to help as many people just access their higher health in general. And it's designed to meet you where you're at and take you higher. 6-week course, we dive deep into food and we also dive deep into mindset and resetting our internal health blueprint. So it's very intense, but at the same time, it's amazing.
When you're talking about that internal blueprint, so is this like kind of like breaking patterns? Because I was talking with, I used to live in LA for a bit, so one of my girlfriends out there, we were talking the other day, and I'm like, this is the thing. Sometimes I'm fine, but then my habit says at night, I want some sherbet, or I want, and I'm so used to that routine at night, like literally, because I do, like I said, intermittent fasting here and there. So I could stop at like 3 or 4, but then I'm home and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I'm watching The Masked Singer. Oh, I'm watching Criminal Minds and I just want a snack, you know? And so does that kind of the internal mapping or blueprint you were saying, does that kind of help with that? Because I feel like it's not even, it can sometimes not even be that I'm hungry. It's just I'm habitual. You know what I'm saying? I'm used to this routine.
Absolutely.
So, okay.
Yeah,
so.
We're creatures of habit. They say it takes 22 days to break a habit.
Okay.
Obviously, taking it a little above and beyond 22 days to build new habits. But what you mentioned, absolutely, we're all built with an internal blueprint. Our programming happens from age 0 to 6. And so I'm basically with this program, you know, to be successful in any type of transition, we have to rebuild habits. We have to hack that blueprint and reset it and reprogram it. So we access that subconscious mind and we work consciously and backwards into the subconscious to be able to access that blueprint, hack it, and then reprogram.
Okay. And then also, too, in your class, do you are you helping people like come up with some creative recipes? Because I think that's a thing, too. People are like, I'm so used to always just cooking the and love lasagna, but the meaty, greasy, cheesy, you know, and then people miss that. So new recipes.
Oh,
that
yeah.
You help
yeah.
With?
It comes with a full 28-day low inflammatory meal plan. So it's all designed to lower that inflammation, cut the mucus, which is the main culprit of any chronic ailment.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you get the recipes, you get a full transition guide. And then you get 6 weeks. We dive deep every module. Every week we have something different online, and there's a module. We do action steps that you can implement throughout the week, and we end with a juice fast.
Oh, nice. Okay. I know you gave it to me, but one more time. I am going to put a link up as well for you listeners so you have it, but just one more time, website address and phone number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alchemia Earth, A-L-K-E-M-I-A, Earth like the planet Earth.com. And then the number you can call or text is 303-557-0887.
Okay, now, Itev, DJ Kavum, you are going to be on tour, so you're going to be out there, out and about, speaking, doing different things. And I think you said you had something coming up on the 24th of January, is that?
Yeah, there's a couple of shows going on. I'm actually on tour with one of my mentees, Shuteska Martinez, who happens to be a climate change activist from the organization I sit on the board of called Earth Guardians. And we're going to be conducting some speaking engagements and some music around environmental awareness and engaging young people worldwide. We were at the forefront of the climate change activism movement for the Future for Fridays, along with Greta and some other activists who are really making some huge impacts, you know, outside of Greta, you know, as well as a lot of indigenous youth who have been doing this for years. And so the conversation is definitely transforming. You can find a lot of my work, you know, on my website, which is Chef Itef, IETEF.com. Or you can also just follow my music, you know, and my last album is available online and streaming. It's called Biomimics with a Z. So you'll be able to find that.
Great. Well, I just want to say thank you both so much for being here, getting our listeners just some more, because, you know, it's a few weeks in now to the new year, and sometimes we forget our, like, I'll worry about next year, you know, so I'll start my resolutions again. So we kind of get off track. So thank you both for being here to kind of keep us on course, so to speak, and on track. And once again, I will be putting up links to both of your websites. So thank you so much for being here, and Happy New Year.
Peace and blessings.